Is it should we save somebody? Should we save a life or should we kill? He says, listen, we need to know the answer that you think. But they cannot respond spiritually because their spirits are dead. You see, they're not on the same page as Jesus. They don't understand what Jesus is really doing. They don't really understand that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't really understand that God is walking in their midst. How tragic is it that God was walking amongst them and they missed it totally? And for 3.5 years, the Pharisees over and over and over again wanted to catch Jesus somehow doing something that they could put him to death with. And ultimately, he was put to death. But it wasn't because he had broken any laws. They can't respond spiritually because their spirits are dead, wrapped up in the tentacles of their own religion, their stubborn hearts. You see, they didn't care about this man with the shriveled hand. They just cared about themselves and their religion. By the way, the word used for stubborn, their stubborn hearts, is porosis. You ever heard that word? Osteoporosis? What happens? It means the bones in a person's body become hard and brittle and they're not useful anymore. It's also named after a type of marble that was used in the ancient world. It meant hard and callous. These people's hearts were hard and callous because all they wanted to do was follow their religion and make sure everybody else did. A stubborn or callous heart will get to the place where it will not even hear the voice of the Lord, even when he was standing right there in their presence. Can you imagine that? Well, I can tell you something, folks. If Jesus walked in here right now and he started speaking to us, I'd want to hear what he had to say, but there might be some who don't. So they came up with a plot. They wanted to try to catch Jesus. They wanted to show that he was going to do something that was against what their laws say that he should do. They hated Jesus so much already, and this is the beginning of his ministry here on this earth, that they put in with the Herodian leaders to try to kill Jesus. Look at that. Look at what verse 6 says. Then the Pharisees went out, and they began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now listen, folks, the Pharisees were enemies of the Herodian leaders, but they were willing to work with them to try to get rid of Jesus. Now, why would they work with the enemy to try to get rid of Jesus? Because they hated him so much. He was going against everything that they stood for. What did they stand for? Religion. Doing things this way, only this way, no other things are available. You do this or you're not a part. See, that's not God. God is not interested in our religion. He's interested in that relationship with you and with me. And I don't know how many times I've said this or will continue to say it as long as God gives me breath. But God is not going to grade you on your religion. He's going to grade you on your relationship with Him. Because there'll be some people who stand before God, and the Scripture reminds us of this, and they'll say, Lord, didn't we go to the prison and visit people? Didn't we hand out food in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? And he'll look at them and say, depart from me. I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. As Keith Green used to say, going to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. There are lost people sitting in church pews all over America today. There's some watching online who say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I joined a church. I got baptized. I have to be a Christian. No, you have to be a member of a church and get baptized, but it doesn't make you a Christian. It all depends on what you've done with your heart. Have you given your heart to Jesus? And they were so upset, and they began plotting with the Herodians, and they wanted to get rid of Jesus. really bad. And by the way, for the next 3.5 years, that was their whole modus operandi. That's all they wanted to do, was to try to catch Jesus and get him put to death. Secondly, this morning, look at Jesus' holy heart. This is something that we need to be reminded of every time we look at what Jesus says and everything that he does. And he gave a command to this man. He says, listen, guy, stand up in front of everyone. And that's exactly what this man did. You know, when Jesus gives us a command, we would do well to do the same. We need to stand up. Folks, we don't see enough people standing up for Jesus today. We don't see enough people willing to risk anything to make sure that people know about Jesus. You see, he wants the glory of the Lord to shine. He wanted people to see that God has the power over a shriveled hand. He has power over demonic forces. He has power over anything. And he wanted to show the glory of the Lord. By the way, the Lord wants to use you as the billboard of his grace. You know what a billboard is. It's got a big message on it. Every time you drive by, you see that message. And every time somebody sees you, they ought to also see the message that I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my mortal body. And so that ought to be the picture that people see in our lives. And so he told that man, stand up in front of all the people. Jesus made that reference to the Pharisees sitting there that day. And he says to them, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? What's the answer? I'm not tricking you. What's the answer? To do good. To do good. That's all Jesus ever did, was to do good. But they said nothing. What does that tell you? It tells you that they didn't have a heart after God. They had a heart after their own rules. They had a heart for their club that they didn't want anybody else to be a part of, unless they met every single law. They said nothing. You see, they knew deep in their hearts what they wanted. They wanted Jesus dead. They wanted their influence and power back. Before Jesus came, people used to follow them and ask them all kinds of biblical questions. And they were in the know, so to speak. And so people wanted to find out what the Pharisees believed. But people weren't coming to them anymore. You know why? Because they saw the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. They understood that Jesus was the embodiment of God himself. And they were very mad, and they were jealous, and they were angry. They wanted Jesus out of the picture altogether. They wanted the people to look to them instead of looking to him. Now, just a moment, think about this. There are a lot of people in this world that want us looking at them. They seem to have all the answers. They seem to have all the wealth. They seem to have all the power. And they try to tell you what you ought to believe. But if it's anything against what God says, we ought not to be listening to them. Pharisees, they didn't really care about that man. They didn't really care about all the others that had already been healed. They didn't really care about all those that were possessed, that had been freed from the demons. They didn't really care about all those people. They just wanted to make sure that they were still in control and they were in charge. And they didn't want anybody looking at Jesus. But you know what? When God enters the room, people are going to look to him. Jesus confronted them. And He was upset with what they had to say, or not say, so to speak, being silent. Look at the first part in verse 5. It says, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. It hurts God's heart when people will not listen to him. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. The Lord continues over and over and over to try to show people how much he loves them, to try to tell people, whether through his word or through the voice of someone else who's trying to speak to them, sharing the gospel with them. He tries to show them over and over and over again, but it hurts his heart when people will just not listen. Don't confuse me with the details. Don't confuse me with all that stuff. I just want to believe what I want to believe. And guess what you get when you just want to believe what you want to believe? You get you. How's that working out? Man has a history of not listening to the Word of God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I mean, the nation of Israel had forgotten their God, and they began worshiping Baal, and they'd even started offering their children as sacrifices before a God that wasn't really even a God. And so Elijah stood up and he said, listen, let's just let God speak. You remember? And so he asked them, all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, to come and meet him on Mount Carmel. And there was 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, and they all met there. And then the people came to see what was going to go on. This was like the very first WWE. You know, everybody wanted to see what's going to happen. And so, man, they all came out to Mount Carmel to see what was going to go on. And those prophets built their little altar. And they cut up the bull and they put the meat on the altar. And then they began calling out to Baal. And they called out and they called out and they called out. And Baal didn't do anything. I wonder why. Because he's not real. And then they started dancing around and shouting. And Elijah said, hey, why don't you shout a little louder? Maybe he's, you know, deaf, or maybe he can't hear you quite well, or whatever. And they began shouting even louder and cutting themselves and bleeding everywhere, thinking somehow they were going to get the attention of this God who's not even real. And after noon, all that morning, that they'd been doing the same thing over and over, shouting, screaming, cutting themselves, dancing around, doing all these things, Elijah said, finally, it's enough. And he built his altar, and he built a trench around the altar, and he cut up the bull and he put it on there, and he said, now bring water and pour it over the bull and the altar, and do it again, and do it again the third time. And there was so much water, and it was so soaked that he couldn't have taken a torch if he had one and make anything burn. But then he stepped back and he prayed, God, show them who you are. And immediately the fire fell from heaven. And when that happened, everybody there began to say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord is God. But we as people have a history of not even listening to the Word of God. It grieves, I believe, the Lord. I believe it breaks His heart when people won't hear the gospel and when His own people won't even share the gospel. I believe it hurt Jesus' heart that day when He was asking a simple question. Is it okay to help somebody on the Sabbath? Isn't it okay to do that? And they said nothing. They didn't want this to come back against them. But in his compassion, he turned to the man and he said, stretch out your hand. See, he loved that man more than any of this religious stuff that these people were bound up into. He said, stretch out your hand. And Jesus met his need that day. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had a hand that wouldn't work, and it had been all shriveled up and not useful, and immediately it became whole and new again, do you think that would affect you? Absolutely. Jesus met that man's needs. Thirdly, this morning, verses 7 through 12 show us the hopeful hearts of the needy. You see, all these people kept gathering around Jesus because they had needs. And Jesus continued to meet those needs. And look at what it says in verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. And there was such a large crowd from Galilee that followed when they heard all he was doing. Many people came to him from Judea and from Jerusalem and Idumea and from regions across the Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River, and around Tyre and Sidon, all up and down the coast. The people were coming from everywhere to see Jesus. What was it they saw in Jesus? I think they saw a number of things. I think, first of all, they saw hope for hurting, for those that were hurting. Maybe some brought their friends or their relatives or whatever that were hurting, physically hurting. Maybe some were hurting because they were overtaken by spiritual beings. Whatever it was, they saw that Jesus was giving them hope. They also saw healing for those that were brokenhearted. They saw freedom from oppression. You see, when you live under a religion, you are continuously oppressed. Folks, there's people in this community who are following religions that tell them if you do this and this and this and this and this, you're okay. But if you mess up on any of those, you're not okay. They saw the love of God in action. You see, every time Jesus healed someone, he did it because of his love for them. He looked at them and he saw them as broken. And he wanted to make them whole. But it's interesting that when Jesus healed people, he didn't just say, okay, your hand's working okay now, you can go. What he would do is say, now, realize how much I love you. Show other people what I mean. They saw the love of God in action. They saw hope in Jesus. What did they seek from Jesus? They wanted real fellowship with him. You see, when Jesus asked Levi if he could come to his house and eat with him, Matthew was so excited that Jesus would come and spend time with him. Zacchaeus did the same thing. He was also a tax collector. Climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus from afar. But Jesus looked right at him and said, today I'm going to come and eat with you. They wanted real fellowship with Jesus. They want to be included in him. Folks, that's what God wants. He wants us to be included in his body, in his family. He wants us to walk with him. John chapter 12, verse 32 says it like this. Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will what? Draw all people to myself. That's what Jesus was doing. He was drawing people to himself so that they could understand and know who God is. I believe everyone has a hole in their heart that can only be filled by Jesus. You may have some people that you're close to and you realize they're struggling or they're hurting. Maybe they're lost. They have no idea of what they need to do. But they keep doing things that they think are going to make them feel better. And they get caught in the cycle and they think that if they just do this, they'll be okay. Or I'll do that. And maybe I'll just go to church and I'll be okay. Or maybe if I give money, or maybe if I, you know, go help somebody in their need, then I'll be okay. But folks, it has nothing to do with those things. It has everything to do with the one who desires to live inside of your heart. His name is Jesus. It's why He came. It's why He gave His life on the cross, so that He could pay our sin debt, so that we could be in Him. And as all these people began gathering around, and it was such a crowd that Jesus said, "Listen, put the boat out just a little bit. I'm going to stand out in the boat so that the people don't overrun me at this point, so I can speak to all of them so they can hear the news about the Lord." This is what people were saying about Jesus. They were telling everyone about Him. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere during these days. I mean, people were coming from all over the area to see Jesus. Now, they didn't even have TV, by the way. They didn't have radio. They didn't have, I mean, but people were coming from everywhere. Now, how did that happen? Because people were coming through that area and doing their trading or whatever, and they saw and heard what Jesus was doing. And all along the way, they would tell people, and before long, the news had spread that Jesus was doing what He was doing. And people were telling everybody about Him. Even the demons were testifying of who Jesus is. I mean, look, that's what it says. Then the demons said, "You're the Son of God." Now, you'd think the demons wouldn't want other people to know that He was the Son of God, but guess what? They have to tell who He is. If you have any doubt, if you have any doubt at all that Jesus is the Son of God, the demons have to tell the truth once in a while, and it's when they're in the presence of Jesus. And by the way, there'll also be a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that includes Satan and all of his demons. Every knee will bow, the Scripture says. Not just most, not just those who've been following Him, but every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the demons had to do even then. They had to say, you are the Son of God. Everybody will testify someday, on that day, to the truth. And again, let me just read through Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, folks. I mean, if it's not any clearer, the Scripture couldn't make it any clearer. There are two kinds of people. Those who are religious and are so bent on their own religion that they will not open themselves up to anything else, because they feel like if they do, they'll mess up what they have. There are others who don't have a relationship with God, but they see what happens when people meet Jesus. They see people changed. They see people brought to Him. They see people healed. They see people that are broken made new. They see those things and they begin to realize and understand that religion cannot do that. The other day, there were a couple of guys walking down our street, knocking on doors, trying to tell people about Jesus. At least the Jesus that they believe in. Who's just a God, one of many gods, and they're hoping to be gods someday. And they came up to my house. I kind of always look forward to that, honestly. Because everybody needs to hear the truth. And when I begin sharing the truth with them straight from God's Word, they say, oh yeah, but in our Bible it doesn't say that. And I said, you know why it doesn't say that? Because your Bible doesn't come straight from the manuscripts. Doesn't come straight from the Word of God. Because somebody has added what they want to add and taken out what they want to take out. Now, you think that's the Bible that you can trust? You see, if I had something that I knew was right, and I took stuff out of it, would you trust me? I wouldn't. See, God's Word is absolutely true from the beginning to the end. And in fact, in the very last chapter of the Bible, it says, if you take away from this Word, or you add to this Word, you'll be in danger of damnation. Folks, God's Word is true because He's true. And when Jesus faced all these Pharisees who continually, by the way, for the next 3.5 years would not stop trying to trap Him, trying to make Him say something that they could come back and say, aha, we got you on that one. But Jesus always answered them with the truth. That's because that's who He is. Folks, there are people all around us who need to know the truth. They don't necessarily need to be a part of some denomination. They don't necessarily need to be a part of some congregation. They need to be a part of the body of Christ. And when you become a part of the body of Christ, you will desire to gather together with other believers. And we are the ambassadors. We are the ones who ought to be telling them about Jesus. We are the ones who ought to allow Jesus to shine through us with the love that He gives us, that we will also love one another. Because that's who God is. He's love. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for this morning and for the opportunity to look into Your Word. I thank You, Father, that Your Word is always true and right. And Father, even in the midst of the struggles that were going on during those days, people still just wanted to find out what was really true, what was really right. And yet there were many who were so bound up by their own religion that they couldn't listen to the truth, even if it stood right in front of them. And He did. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to change. Father, I pray that in this day that we live in, when there's still the opportunity to tell people about our wonderful, awesome God, that we won't hold back and that we will share the gospel and we will tell people how much You love us. Father, help us to not hold back. Help us to not be silent. Help us to stand up for You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have just a moment of invitation. We're going to sing through this hymn. And I'll be here at the front. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, I'd love to share with you how to do that. If you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is where God's led you, we'd love to have you. Whatever it is that you might want to even just come and kneel and pray and get back right with God and just share with Him whatever's on your heart this morning. Whatever it is that God's saying to you this morning, let's stand together and let's begin to sing. And if God's spoken to your heart, I'll be here to pray.